John chapter 1. The title of this message is this, okay? The title of the message is, What Christmas Tells Me. What Christmas Tells Me. Christmas tells us something. It tells us something this evening. It tells us something every year. So we are going to find out from Scripture what Christmas tells me. So John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, someone say, the Bible says. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Father, we do come before you. And Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, I want to thank you, first and foremost, Lord, that you sent Jesus into this world. Lord, I thank you that this time of year we can remind ourselves, we can stir in our hearts the meaning of Christmas. That, Lord, there was a Savior who humbled himself and was born in a manger, who lived 33 years, lived a perfect life, was tempted even by the devil himself, but Lord, came out perfect. And Lord, in that perfection, he went to the cross. And Lord, though I deserve to go to the cross because I was imperfect, and though the rest of us deserve to go to the cross because we were imperfect, Jesus went for us, trading his perfection for our imperfection. And Lord, as he put our imperfection on, he died upon the cross for us. He took the punishment that we deserved. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to celebrate Christmas because of that. And so Lord, as we come, as we've gathered, I thank you, Lord, for the cookies. I thank you, Lord, for the hot chocolate. I thank you, Lord, for the decorations. I thank you, Lord, for the leaders who love these students so much. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who has fallen upon this place in order to teach us and instruct us and guide us and fill our hearts with your love. And so, Lord, as we examine Scripture this evening, I pray that you would help us to grow into a better understanding of who you are and what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for this time. We commit this night to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Just yell it out. Stress. Jesus.
Party.
Parlay? No, I'm just kidding. What? But what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Clothes? Okay, that's good. I think of stockings. Stockings, right? Stockings. You think of lights. You think of trees. You think of presents, right? Cold weather. It's very cold out. What else do you think of? Snow? Because it snows in the high desert like every 17 years or something. So when I think of Christmas, listen, when I think of Christmas, growing up, Christmas to me was presents. That really was what it was. And maybe as you are now in high school, presents aren't as special or as important or as glamorous. But when I was growing up, I remember my parents would wrap presents as they would buy them and stick them under the tree. So it was like if they bought a present December 2nd, they would wrap it, put it under the tree, and it'd be sitting there. And I remember as a kid, I would look and I'd be like, yes. And I'd go running over so excited about this new present. I'd look and it wouldn't have my name on it and I'd throw it and be mad. I remember that. I remember being so excited, but that was what Christmas meant to me. Maybe it means presents under the tree. Maybe it means last year's top presents was the Google Home and the Nintendo Switch. I don't know if you asked for those or wanted those or if you've even asked for them this year. You're a year behind. Sorry about that. Maybe for you it's decorations and Christmas lights. Maybe it's Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. I don't know what it is. Maybe for the rest of you, it's not any of those things, but you go, I'm more spiritual, Daniel. Christmas is about the baby in the manger. Amen. Oh, no. Christmas is about the shepherds in the field. Christmas is about the three wise men. Christmas is about whatever, you know, the animals. There's no room in the inn. And you think of the Christmas story and you go, that's what Christmas is about, Daniel. That's what I think of because I'm more spiritual. And while it's good for us to know that Christmas story, we revisit it every single year. But and while it's good for us to do that, it's even more important for us to know what Christmas means. It's more important for us to know what Christmas tells me. So tonight, we're not going to read about the wise men. We're not going to read about Jesus in the manger. We're not going to read about the Virgin Mary. We're not going to read about Joseph. We're not going to read about how they traveled afar. We're not going to read about any of that. Instead, we're going to ask ourselves, what does Christmas tell me? And I believe Christmas tells you in your seat something very specific. I believe Christmas, through Scripture, tells you something that you need to know. And I believe it's two things. I want to give you two things tonight found in John chapter 1. Two things that Christmas tells you. Two things that will help you understand what Christmas means. And what's great about this Scripture that we've come to, John chapter 1, is it's not really a common Scripture that's taught at Christmas time. I mean, you probably won't walk into any church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and they're teaching from this Scripture, but it's still a very, very important Scripture, and I believe it captures the heart of what Christmas means or what Christmas tells you. So number one, what Christmas tells you in your seat. Number one, God wants to be close to you. Christmas tells you, the month of December, December 25th, Christmas tells you that God wants to be close to you. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." What I want to share with you this evening is God has gone through infinite lengths in order to be with you. God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with you. I don't know if you realize that, but God has done everything in his power. He's gone through infinite lengths in order to be with you. This verse shows us this. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we see that word or the phrase, the Word. Do you see it there? Look down at your Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word. Yes, do you see that? Yes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this Word is the Greek word logos. L-O-G-O-S. And it means this. It means something said, or it means an expression. And so what God's word is telling us is this Word, the Word who became flesh, is the expression of God. And what's great about this word is we know that the Word who became flesh, the Word is Jesus. If you follow me for a second, the Word is Jesus. You can actually look at verse 1 in your Bible, and you can replace the Word with Jesus' name. Notice how this works out. In the beginning was the Word, or in other words, in the beginning was Jesus, and the Word, or Jesus, was with God, and Jesus was God. Do you see how that works out? The Word is Jesus. Now I'll jump down to verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh," or "and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." So when the Bible says the Word, it is declaring this. It is declaring that Jesus, the Christ, is the expression of God. That Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God revealing to man, revealing to you in your seat who he is. God wanted to show who he was. God wanted to reveal himself to you. God wanted to have a relationship with you. So he showed and revealed himself in Jesus so that what? Verse 14 tells us, so that we could behold his glory. You see, Jesus, the baby in the manger, the man who lived 33 years, the man who went to the cross for you and for me so that we could receive forgiveness, it was Jesus that as we see him, we can behold the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever tried to look at the sun. I used to try to do that. When I was a kid, I used to look up at the sun. And as I would look up at it, my mom would tell me, "Stop looking at the sun." And I kind of think that the reason why I have to wear contacts today is because I would look at the sun and I started to go blind. I'm not kidding. It sounds funny, but anyway, I would try to look at the sun. But we know something about the sun. We know that the sun is too glorious, too bright, too bright for our eyes to be able to comprehend, to be able to see. And so if we look at the sun, we go blind. We can't behold the sun's glory. And I don't know if you remember, not this last August, but the August before, last year, 2017, sorry, that was not last year. I'm a little behind. But the year 2017, in August, there was this big event. It was all over the news. There was this weeks of preparation and buildup, and it was called the total solar eclipse. Do you guys remember that? I don't remember how old you guys are, but it happened. You could have been 13. I don't know. Some of you are like, I don't remember. But anyway, this total solar eclipse, what it was this event that was going to happen for like the first time in 100 years, and it was going to happen again. We have other eclipses coming, but this one was like the biggest one we've seen in a long time. And so what was great about this is you needed glasses to be able to see it because we can't behold the sun's glory. And you would see these glasses would pop up everywhere. I remember walking into a gas station and sitting there on the counter was total solar eclipse glasses. And I was like, man, these things are just everywhere. But it was so that you could put the glasses on and you could see what was happening with the sun, with the total solar eclipse. For us, if we cannot see the sun without looking through a filter, how do we expect to see God without looking through a filter? You see, God is much more glorious than the sun. God is something that we cannot see. He is not a person, he is a being whom we cannot see. We cannot behold his glory. If we can't even look at the sun without having glasses, how do we expect to see God without looking through a filter? You see, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that God is light and in him is no darkness. And because of God's glory, guess what? God told Moses this. He said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." God's glory is incomprehensible. We cannot see him. We cannot experience him because he's too glorious. But once again, God has gone through infinite lengths in order to be with you. God has gone to the extreme. Christmas tells me that God wanted to be with me. Though he was too glorious for me to comprehend and to see and to take in, God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with me. So he sent the word. He sent Jesus so that way we could behold his glory. Moses, hey, you can't ever see my face. No man can. But if I come in the form of Jesus, if I send the word who becomes flesh, you can behold my glory. And Jesus even told Philip this, one of his disciples, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so when we see Jesus, when we experience Jesus, that is God in our lives. That is God touching us. That is God we are experiencing. You see, this is important for us. This is drastic for us. This is life-changing for us. Because as human beings, as mankind, as high schoolers, we don't relate to God. We don't. We don't relate to God at all. Why not? Well, a couple things. The Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness. We could reverse that for ourselves. Man is darkness and in him is no light. So we don't relate to God at all because God is light, we're darkness, we're the complete opposite. And we also don't relate to God because oftentimes we think of God sitting on a throne, up in heaven, ruling the world, doing whatever he wants, and we don't relate to that. How can we relate to a God like that? How can we relate to a being that just sits up in the sky on a throne and does whatever he wants? We don't relate to that because we don't get to do that. But you know what Christmas tells us? You know what Christmas tells you? Christmas tells you this, that you have a God that you can relate to. That you have a God who became a living person. And because he was a living person, him we can relate to. Him we can talk to. Him we can confide in. Do you realize that God has broken down the barriers of connection? That there was a disconnection because of your sin. And God loved you so much that he broke down that barrier. And he sent himself in the form of a living person, living amongst us. Feeling what we feel, whether the tragedies of life or whether the joys of life, whether the lows of life as a human being or whether the highs of life as a human being, Jesus experienced it all. Now we can relate to God. You see, God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with you. He lost his glory. He lost his life to be close to you. That's what Christmas is. And do you realize this? There's a challenge within this. Does God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with you, you then must go to infinite lengths in order to be with him. God's done his part. God has provided the opportunity. God has made a way for you and for me. Now it's up to you and it's up to me to take advantage of that. So we must go to great lengths in order to be with him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, those who seek me find me. Not those who sit on their butt. Not those who are so busy they never come to church. Not those who are so busy they never open up their Bible. Not those who are so busy they never pray. No, those who seek me find me. And I even love another translation. It says this, those who seek me diligently find me. And the problem with this is this, not for all of us, but for a lot of us, for some of us, we're not doing our part. God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with you, but you're not going through infinite lengths in order to be with him. And Christmas is a great time. It's a great time to remember what Jesus has done for you so that way you can start shaping up your life once again and do things for him. You see, as we're not going through great lengths in order to be with God, that's why we don't feel close to God. You may be asking, I don't know where God is at in my life. Daniel, you say he's gone to infinite lengths, but where is he? What is he doing? I'm not experiencing him. It's because you're not doing your part. Here's a couple things. For many of us, we don't put in the time. Do you realize that a relationship takes time, that God has provided an open door relationship with himself for you, and you don't put in the time? And what I mean by that is this, you're not praying. You're not having every morning starting the day and going, Lord, I just want to commit this day to you. Lord, thank you. I know you've given me the breath in my lungs. I know that you've set before me great things, good works for me prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. Lord, I know you've called me to school. Lord, I know you've called me to homeschooling. Lord, I know you've called me to my friends. Lord, I know you've called me to go to youth group. And Lord, I just ask that you'd oversee this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't put in the time. I'm too busy. I slept through my alarm, whatever it may be. We don't put in the time reading God's word. We're not faithful. You see, we're praying is us talking to God and saying, God, can you do this for me? Or God, I'm thankful for this in my life. Do you realize that God's word is him speaking to you? That if you're praying, Lord, save my mom. Lord, heal my dad. Lord, do a work in my brother's life. Lord, help my friend through this tough time. Do you realize that God is going to speak to you through his word? He's going to answer your prayer through his word. He's not going to have this magic moment in your life where you're just sitting there and he answers. No, he's going to do it in his word. So you're not putting the time in to pray. Not putting the time in to read God's word. There's fasting, there's meditating, there's all these different things that God has provided for you to have a relationship with him. And as God has gone to infinite lengths in order to be with you, you need to take the advantage of these infinite lengths in order to be with him. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe for you, it's things in your life that are displeasing God. That would be sin. There's certain things maybe in your life, maybe you're prideful. God is displeased at that. And that pride is separating you from God. Maybe there's lust and giving into temptation. That is going to separate you from God. You're going to be, I don't feel God in my life because you're quenching the spirit. You're pushing the spirit out of your life because of your sin. There's lying, there's gossip, there's hypocrisy. There's all these things that we walk in. And Christmas does what? Christmas reminds me that I need to do my part. And if you're one of those that are caught in sin, I don't know what sin it may be. Maybe it's one I listed, maybe it's not one I listed. But I want to tell you this truth. It's one that I've repeated over and over because I think it's so crucial for the Christian walk. It's 1 John chapter 1. It says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So on one end, you may not be putting in the time. On the other end, you might have some sin. If you just confess that sin tonight, if you go before the Lord, before you get home, when you get home, tomorrow morning, I don't care when you do it. If you just go, Lord, I was so convicted in that teaching. I don't feel you in my life. I know you've done so much for me. You sent your son Jesus for me so you could be close to me. And I've allowed this sin to separate me. Confess it. God will forgive you. You can move on. He'll be close to you. So the time or the sin, deal with those things this time of year. Christmas means God wants to be near to you, wants to be close to you. Are you willing to go to great lengths to be with him? So number one, Christmas means God wants to be near to you. Number two, Christmas also means love really matters. Christmas means love really matters. This is great. Look at verse one. The Bible tells us this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The key phrase I want to show you here is in the beginning. And it's at the beginning of the text. So that is kind of cool for us. It's cool for me. In the beginning. At the beginning of the text. It says in the beginning because it's the beginning of the text. Anyway. See, it's just this revolving circle in Daniel's mind of chaos. Anyway. But in the beginning, you know, this is a huge statement that we always need to remember, in the beginning, because it is epic. And I don't use that word very often, epic. But it is an epic phrase because it is epic because it is the beginning of an epic story of love and redemption. When Jesus says, when the Bible says in the beginning, this is an epic story. It's the beginning of an epic story, okay? What I want to show you is this. For the longest time, scientists have tried to study love. They have. They've gone on a quest to study love. They want to comprehend love. They want to understand how love works. And you know what they've determined? They've determined this. This is their hypothesis when it comes to love, according to a scientist. Love is a chemical response to further the human race. So as they have studied love, love is broken down to a final statement. Scientifically, love is a chemical response within human beings to further the human race. Scientists have recognized that love adds value to our lives only because it protects and keeps the species from going extinct. That because we have love for each other, we're fruitful and we multiply. And so the species continues on. That's all love is for. So love does matter, and humans do matter only what? To further the species. Scientists even go on to say that we have developed this chemical response of love because our ancestors used it in order to survive. That the reason you are here today is because of love, not because love is amazing or this beautiful thing that God has created, but because it's furthered the species. Your ancestors found a way to make sure that you were here on this day. And if there was no chemical response of love, then there would be no human race. That's what scientists declare. But I'm here to tell you that God's word says the exact opposite. That God's word says this: love was not developed through evolution in order for our species to continue on. That's not what it is. And what I want you to know is this: Christmas proves three things about love. Christmas proves that love pre-existed the world, that love has always existed. Love pre-existed the world. You need to know that. That love was not something that men and women found. Love was not something that human beings found, but love pre-existed the world. I also want you to know that Christmas proves that love created the world. It was love that pre-existed the world, and it was love that created the world. And I want you to know that Christmas proves that love is redeeming the world. You see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this: God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Piper loves that verse. It's her favorite one. You see, if God is love, then we can understand that love was in the beginning before the world existed. Notice verse 1 again. Let's replace the word with love. In the beginning was love, and love was with God, and love was God. God is love. And if God is love, then love created the world. And if God is love, love is redeeming the world. You can see it in verse 14. And love became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, God is love. You see, love pre-existed the world. Love is redeeming the world. Love created the world. We need to know that. Love is just not some chemical response in our lives to further the human race. No, it was love there from the beginning. Christmas tells us that love is important. That love really matters. You see, it was Jesus who in love came to dwell among us, not just so that we could relate to him, but that so he could redeem us. You see, that's the whole point. Christmas is not about the baby who stays in the manger and, oh, how cute is this baby. No, Christmas is about the love that came down in order to redeem the world. There was a lady whose name was Dorothy L. Sayers, and she was a writer in the early 1900s. And I want to read to you how they describe Dorothy. Dorothy was not good looking. She had graduated from Oxford University, and she wrote murder and mystery novels. That's how they really describe her. Dorothy was not good looking. She's graduated from Oxford University, and she wrote murder mystery novels. And her most famous character was named Peter. Peter. She wrote about Peter all the time. Peter would solve cases. Peter would go in and figure the cases out. And Peter solved many mysteries in her books, but he was a single man in her novels. And all of a sudden, as she wrote novel after novel about Peter solving his mysteries, all of a sudden she wrote in a character. All of a sudden, a young lady by the name of Harriet came into her books and fell in love with Peter, and they lived happily ever after. And this is important for us because many people have said that Dorothy Sayers looked into the world that she had created, and she placed herself in that world. Why? Because notice how this works out. Harriet was not good looking. She had graduated from Oxford, and she wrote murder mystery novels in the book. Once again, Dorothy was not good looking, graduated from Oxford, and wrote murder mystery novels. Harriet also was not good looking, graduated from Oxford, and wrote murder mystery novels. She wrote herself in. You see, many people think that Dorothy looked into the world that she had made, this book world that she had created, and she looked at the man that she had created. She looked at Peter, and she saw that he was alone. She saw that he was lonely. She saw that he was missing something and needed something, and she wrote herself into the story to save him. Peter is this great man who's solving mysteries, but he's lacking something. He needs saving, so she wrote herself in to save him. And isn't that sweet, and isn't that lovely? But do you realize that God has actually done that for you? We look at the book and we go, that's so sweet that this author would create this story and write herself in order to save her main character. But God has done that for you. The meaning of Christmas is the love that created the world, the God that created us and knows we have gone astray and made a mess of ourselves. He looked down on us, the main character, and loved us so much that he wrote himself in. That the God who is distant from us, the God who is in heaven, looked down upon us. And as there was, you know, the chasm was far too wide, we like to sing, I could never reach the other side. And God looked at that chasm and he goes, I've created this amazing main character, and you are the main character. Whoever you are in your seat, you are the main character in God's story. And God looks at you and sees a problem, sees a need, sees your depravity, sees your heinous sin, and he writes himself into your life. He says, it's impossible. I can't be with you. You are darkness, I am light. It's impossible. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write myself into your story. I'm gonna send Jesus, and Jesus is gonna come, and he's gonna dwell among you. The word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among you. He sent himself into the story, wrote himself into our lives, and that's why he was born in the manger, and that's why he went to the cross to save his people. Love came down, and you know what he did? As he wrote himself into the story, as he did all of that for us, Jesus came to live the life we should have lived, and to die the death we should have died. To live the life we should have lived, perfect, and to die the death we should have died, the cross. Wrote himself in. And that's what Christmas is about. It's that moment when the character you love in the story, you know, when you fall in love with a character, whether it's in a movie or in a book, and you fall in love with that character, and that character is so meaningful to you, it's like you know that person, you know that character. It's that moment when the character you love in the story dies in the place of the person you hate in the story. We're the ones that should be hated, and Jesus is the hero, and Jesus dies. The hero dies for the person that's hated. Love is not a chemical reaction. Love is Jesus, and Christmas tells us that. Why do you think we say, I'll love you forever? Why do you think we say, or we don't say, I'll love you until you die, or until I die? Why do you think we say that? We say that because love is not something that is meant to be within time. Love is eternal. Love was outside of the time realm that God has created. Love always existed. That's why we say, I'll love you forever, because we know that love is eternal. We know it. It's written within our hearts. I don't love you until I die. I love you forever. So what does Christmas mean? Christmas means God wants to be close to you. And Christmas means love really matters. As we start out another great Christmas season, let us hold fast to what Christmas means. Not just the baby coming into the world, but Christmas is a baby coming with a promise to live the life we should have lived and to die the death we should have died. And Christmas points us to the cross. That's the great thing about Christmas, is it doesn't stay there. The baby doesn't stay there. He goes and he dies for us. So the goal is, during the chaos of Christmas, during all the light, during all the busyness, the shopping, the stress that one of us yelled out and talked about, Christmas means stress. You see, we step back and remember that God wants to be close to us, and love really matters. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, I thank you for this evening. And I thank you, Lord, so much for this time that we've gotten to examine your word. Lord, I thank you once again that Christmas is a great reminder for us of the baby who was born, the Savior, the sinless Savior coming into the world, not coming into the world triumphantly, not coming into the world making noise, not coming into the world saying, all need to bow down to me because I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But no, he came in the form of a little baby through the Virgin Mary in a manger because there was no room for him. And Lord, it is my prayer that as you have gone to infinite lengths in order to be with us, it is my prayer that we would not shut you out saying there is no room. Lord, many of us walk through life so busy and we shut you out and we say, Lord, there is no room for you here. Father, forgive us. Father, help us to know that we need to invite you in. That you stand at the door and knock, and anyone who answers the door shall be saved. And Lord, I know there's some in this room that you're knocking on the door of, and they've locked it. They've walked away from it. They've stayed away from it. And Lord, maybe there's even a little bit of fear in opening it. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to open this door? I don't know. I'm afraid. Does that make me weird? Does it make me a Jesus freak? But Lord, I pray and I ask that you would put it on their hearts, that you would move by the power of your Spirit for them to open that door, for them to invite you in, and for them to experience you and all that you have for them. Lord, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you so much that, Lord, these students were so rowdy and so excited and took pictures and ate cookies. Lord, I love these students. I thank you for them. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless this time as we bring up some ugly Christmas sweaters onto this stage. And, Lord, we give some gift cards away. And so, Lord, be with us during this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.